Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Fleetcast. I'm your host, William. And, you know, we got a bunch of stuff lined up for you today. I got Yayan on the line here in a few minutes. And, you know, we're going to be going over a few Fleet things. So hopefully you'll stick around and you'll be a part of our Fleetcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the voice of Obsidian Fleet. So today, ladies and gentlemen, we only have a few things of fleet business, and in fact, we don't have any 21, 47, or 72 news except in fleet business. So, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get right to it. The big major thing, obsidianfleet.net is actually kind of no more. It's obsidianfleet.co.uk. They moved databases, that's all they did. They just did like a switcheroo thing. So the new website is obsidianfleet.co.uk. And hopefully you all remember that and you go there instead of .net because it's actually not working at the moment. So, other than that, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, the TFCO of Task Force 72 resigned this past week. We are told by Triad that since that position has come open, that they are looking at a number of applications for that, and they should have a selection for that shortly. Other than that, I don't think we have any fleet news. So we're going to take a short break right now, and then we'll come back with Yayan, and you gotta listen closely, because, I mean, yeah, Yayan, he's a great guy, and I can understand him very well, but I'm not gonna tell you what position he's in, so you gotta figure that out only if you listen. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a short break, and then we'll be right back to this day's Fleetcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fleetcast today. I have a very special guest with me today. His name is Yayan. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I could be doing a lot better, but that's a different story. So, Yayan, tell us, what affiliation do you have with Obsidian Fleet? I'm not going to say who my guest is. I'm just going to say your name, so all anybody knows right now is your name. What do you do in Obsidian Fleet?
I do a variety of things. I suppose one of my functions is Task Group Commanding Officer for 47C, the Kensai. So I'm quite proud of that achievement, although I've only gained it within the last month or so, so I'm still getting to grips with that. Uh-huh. Otherwise, obviously I'm a Commanding Officer of the USS India. We're just restarting essentially after the Christmas break and getting into our first proper mission this time around. And otherwise I play a variety of characters within OF that aren't actually affiliated with Starfleet in any way. So they're mostly civilians and aliens.
Awesome. We'll get to that in a minute because I know one of your characters. Tell me, how does it feel to take over the TGCO position from somebody who was recently completely banned from the fleet?
Well, it's a privilege, obviously, that they're going to trust me with this sort of position, considering that it was abused before, I suppose. And I think I'm very lucky in that I got a task group that's with COs who are very capable. So the transition has been easy.
All right. So as a TGCO, obviously you've had to kind of rethink the way that you do things on the sim because you're now literally a middle management person. What do you see your duties as?
I suppose I'm a conduit between the COs and the task force commanding officer. So if the COs want to vent or want to pass something along, then I'm always gonna be there to help them in any way that I can. And I do intend to be kind of very active in helping my COs, you know, to be able to realize what they want to realize for their Sims.
Awesome. So I'm going to ask you this next question a couple different ways. The first one is, as a TGCO, what do you want people in Obsidian Fleet to know?
Essentially, that we are here to serve sort of the wider community. We're not, we're higher up in the hierarchy, so to speak. But, I mean, we're here to play a game at the end of the day, and what my main job as, you know, a commanding officer, a task group commanding officer, is to be able to facilitate the smooth playing of the game.
Okay, so as a CO, what do you want your crew to know?
That I think that they're a great bunch of players. They're all very, very capable. I have a lot of faith in them, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they will be able to bring to the table in the future and during this next mission.
Awesome. What about, as a player, what do you want other players to know, or perhaps another CO to know?
Accessibility to the CO is important. I'd like to think that I'm able to approach any of the other COs that I'm, COs of any of the other sims that I'm a member of, and with you know, anything regarding issues on the sims. I like to see COs encouraging participation. You know, even to the point where they're cajoling you and bombarding you with JPs. I like that. as a player.
I'll remember that next time I have to get some stuff out of you on
well,
the
yes.
Shanghai. Anyway, so as we both know, you play on the Shanghai, and as far as I know, the only other member of the Ryu species on... in Obsidian Fleet, and in fact, probably the entire world.
Yes, indeed, and it was actually a surprising turn of events.
Give us your thoughts on that, and why you decided that. Because I'll be honest, I thought that no one else would want to play an 8-foot-tall lizard.
Yeah. Well, firstly, I sort of came to the conclusion that I should, because obviously I had to take a step back from being Marine commanding officer and a second officer on the Shanghai, so I thought I'd take a lower ranked character. And then as we were discussing it, I suddenly thought, well, I have a ready-made NPC here. Why not do that? And I mean, with a Ryu or a Ryu, depending on which way you want to sort of pronounce it, I think the most interesting thing for me is being able to play about with language. Because obviously, I studied German at university, and I'm bilingual anyway, so language is fascinating to me. So it's just little things. Like, the bit that stands out is we were doing a JP once, and she referred to a book, not as book, but as tome. And that tickled me, and then that was just taken from there. And as well as being able to sort of explore Federation sort of society and Starfleet and everything from an outsider's perspective, because she's not at all a member of Starfleet or even a Federation citizen in any way at the moment. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the consideration that she was in fact an 8-foot-tall lizard was secondary to the possibilities she offered to sort of explore the issues I just talked about.
Awesome. So what would you... There's been some goings back and forth on the forum lately, and I want to kind of address this. What are the most important things you think that a character can have in its biography, its like vital statistics, its history, that a character can have in Obsidian Fleet?
Are you talking mainly about sort of non-canon species and so forth?
I'm talking about in-canon species, humans, Vulcans, Ferengi, plus also maybe some more interesting species like Ryu, made up, or maybe even like the Horda, which are pretty interesting, you gotta admit.
Yeah, on the Horta, definitely. I think, in general, what a player has to give is, a 3D character. It can't be a 2D cutout. It has to have, no kid is going to have the perfect upbringing, but then again, no kid is going to have the absolutely worst upbringing in the world when nothing goes right, but then suddenly they land on their feet in Starfleet. I mean, it has to be, it has to be realistic. It has to be a good, and some depth and some detail always goes a long way to suggesting that you've thought about your character, you've thought about the species and what experiences that they've had. And yeah, that's what I would prefer to see in sort of character applications and so forth.
All
In
right.
terms of non-canon species, what I would recommend is that a player sits down and then thinks about what they're trying to do with this species. If they're trying to make it into a superhero kind of character, then I'd say that they have to go back to the drawing board and think again. And I would also recommend them to think up a full, or at least the sketches of a history, a culture, and so on and so forth, and perhaps their relationship to the Federation or other powers within the Alpha and Beta quadrants.
All right. So essentially, what you're saying is that it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of work, but is the effort worth it?
Yes, I think any non-human and non-Federation species is worthwhile. They're harder work, but they're definitely worthwhile because they're just so different to this idealized type of society that we have in the Federation.
All right. And you and I, we've discussed the pros and cons of the Federation and what Gene Roddenberry thought and what would probably actually happen. And I don't want to bring up that kettle of soup again because, I mean, our debate was quite interesting and I don't think, well, we won't have time for it on the show.
No.
But where do you. Do you see our society now as being able to possibly support a Star Trek type society in the future?
I would hope so. Looking around now, I don't think we could. I think that there are far too many problems that need solving first. And, the main thing that would spur the creation of a society capable of supporting a Federation would have to be, first contact with a species like the Vulcans. But, that's not likely to happen, shall we say, within the, near future, or if ever.
You
And as
know,
well, I
go ahead.
well, I think as well, Star Trek is very much an idealized version of the future as seen from a 1960s American perspective. I mean, we're already seeing that science is progressing in the direction of Star Trek. I mean, mobile phones or cell phones, iPads, and so on and so forth. We're going to go down probably a completely different trajectory in our sort of future, and whether we get into space, everything's going to look radically different.
Well, you know, sometimes I think that the surest sign of intelligent life out there is that none of it has tried to contact us yet.
Yes.
So, I mean, I agree with you, and we'll have to talk more off air about this because I enjoy our conversations.
Of course, they're very interesting, yes.
Yeah. So going back to the other characters that people can play in Star Trek, it's really only limited by your imagination. And
Yes.
I, do you want to talk a little bit more about that and why that is so important to you as a CO and as a player?
Sure. Well, as a CEO, I think we should all be looking at for that little sort of extra bit of color in our character applications. And recently I was very fortunate enough to have an application where the character was a Vulcan adept of the Kolinar discipline, which is in fact quite unusual, I think, within Starfleet. So he's a civilian, he's a Vulcan adept of the Kolinar, and he just adds this sort of, I don't know, this sort of frisson of difference to the sim, which I quite like, and I'd hope that every CO would like that. As a player, well, personally, I play three civilian characters. One, obviously, the Ufalazlan, the Ryu. The second is, we've termed him a vagrant engineer aboard the Discovery, and he's a human, but he's, you know, a civilian, and his sort of draw to me is that he's not the perfect, idealized Roddenberry human being. I mean, he's imperfect, he's greedy, he's angry, he gets into fights, and just recently he's gotten into trouble by helping a Romulan. And it just provides a little bit more of a wider perspective on life in the Federation, something that Starfleet officers and sims with exclusively with Starfleet officers may not be able to or may not have the opportunity to explore. And sort of my last civilian character would be a Cardassian ambassador's aide. And, you know, for a fan of Deep Space Nine, Cardassians are extremely interesting, especially in sort of this sort of post-war era. I mean, it's been a decade after the Dominion War, and just being able to see maybe how it from my point of view, how it may have influenced some members of Cardassian society and their outlooks on life and how they might adjust and whether they're still as warlike and duplicitous as they were during the series. And what I've been allowed to do is take my character down a different path. And he's really nice. He's not somebody who's come up in the series before, which I quite like. It's just this for a CO and a player. I think it's the opportunity to experience something different in the Trek universe, which is the appeal.
Awesome. And you know, as we've been talking, and I've especially gotten to know you over the past almost 2 years now.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't believe that, but. You know, as I've gotten to know you, it seems like we share the same idea that Roddenberry had a great vision. He had a great hope for the future. However, it might not turn out so well. And
yes,
you know, I think that what we can agree on here is that Roddenberry was great. He gave us Star Trek. He inspired tons of people to be better people and to even go into things like the astronaut program and just everything you can think of. In fact, I would probably label Star Trek as the most influential television show of all time.
Done. I would agree.
And I think that you and I, we both realize that Roddenberry gave it life, but it's our job to keep it alive. Because, you know, frankly, between us, writing is a pretty outdated skill these days.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're living in a world where fans are making their own sort of webisodes and their own web sort of series based on Star Trek and what they think it should be like. And I think writing has an appeal that is far greater than the television. From a personal point of view, I would much rather read a book than watch television. And I think the great appeal of simming in this way and in this universe is, one, there is an already established universe which you can play about in, and it provides you with a bedrock and a background from which you can interpret your character, mm-hmm. interpret the goings on around your character, and then you're able to write it out. And somebody else is going to either participate in the post with you, or they're going to read your post on the sim, and they're going to be able to, hopefully, if you do your writing well, they're going to be able to share in that sort of interpretation of the Star Trek universe, and it becomes a much more shared sort of experience. And then what I would hope then is in the next couple of posts that you work on, maybe on your own or with these people, you're going to sort of draw out and pick up on the little details that they put into their posts. And then in that way, you're able to flesh out this sort of little corner of the Star Trek universe. And I think you can only really do that when you're writing rather than passively watching. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a very astute and great observation, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're coming, of course, to the close of the interview today. By the way, congratulations. You're the first interview that we have on Season 2. This is Episode 2 of Season 2, because my internet decided to not cooperate last week.
It's a great privilege.
Well, we're glad to have you on, and I really hope that people enjoy this episode.
Sure.
Anyway,
me too.
It makes my job a lot easier when I get a lot of happy emails instead of a "you did this wrong" email. Anyway, we've made a tradition of this. Is there anything that you want to ask me on any level, about my personal life, the Shanghai, my TGCO, anything like that? Just anything you can think of.
Sure. I think my main question is, you know, we're coming into a new year, so where do you see sort of the Shanghai going over the long term?
Well, I don't see myself quitting the Shanghai at all. In fact, I have more fun at this than I do on finals or anything like that, so I could probably say that this would take a front seat to finals, even though that's not supposedly how it's supposed to go. But as for where the Shanghai is going, I want to see a lot of crew participation. I want people to be able to come to me and say, "Hey, I hate this part of the mission that we're doing. Can we possibly change it up?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, let's see what we can do." You know, I've had it both ways, and the point that I want to get across, and where I want the Shanghai to go, is essentially that it's not my sim. Okay, I might be the guy who is in charge, because there has to be a guy in charge, and I might be the guy who has to make the tough decisions about whether or not to accept your application or not, but regardless of that, or any other administrative duties I have, I am still just a player, and I still just want to see the best in the Shanghai and in Obsidian Fleet as a whole. So it's not my sim, and I want everybody to come in and say, "I have this idea for the website." Okay, bring it on. We'll see what we can do. And I just want people to be involved.
That's brilliant. I think, well, as a player, obviously, as a member of the Shanghai, that's brilliant. And as a CEO as well, I think that's a really good example for, you know, setting your sim up for success, hopefully in the long term.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. And, you know, I work hard on the Shanghai, and I hope that it comes
indeed
through.
Indeed you do. And you're entirely welcome for the compliment. And now, could I just give a general shout-out for my task group?
Certainly, as long as there's nothing else you wanted to ask me.
No, I think you satisfied my answer on
awesome.
Two levels.
Awesome.
Which is, yeah, good. If I may,
yeah,
just
go ahead.
A shout out for
give your shout out.
Task Group 47C, the Kensai. First off, we have a number of open commands, and I'm out there listening, so please come along with an application. We're excited, and I'm excited to be able to read these excellent things and, you know, filling out my task group. And as well, the CEO of the Iwojima would like to say a very big thank you to all the web heads out there who've helped him with his graphics and so on and so forth. And as a fellow internet Luddite, I'd like to say you all do a very brilliant job. And then, yes, we can always do with more general characters coming in. I mean, come on, come along and bring your applications. So, yeah, that's my shout-out.
Awesome. Well, you know, I don't think I could have said it better than that. You kind of did that all in probably less than 30 seconds. But that's good.
Well, I'm British. I'm economical with my words.
Not so economical with your money, though. But that's, of course, an entirely different political spectrum, which
that
we
is
will
indeed.
Not ever absolutely touch in this Fleetcast as long as I do it.
Brilliant.
Just because I hate politics. But anyway, thank you very much, Yayan, today. Once again, the task group commanding officer of 47C, the CO of the USS India, and a regular player like most people in the fleet. So, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for pronouncing my name right.
Hey, yeah. You know, I actually had to ask you about that, but it's okay.
Yeah, at the beginning, I mean, weeks ago. That's...
Yeah, and I'm just glad that I can get it right, because it makes me embarrassed when I can't pronounce somebody's name right, like, honestly.
It's all right.
Anyway, thank you very much for coming on the fleet. We hope to get you back here soon.
Excellent. I hope to be back here. It's been fun.
Thank you very much for that, Yayan. We definitely appreciate that. So, we're coming to the close of the Fleet Class today. I think we had a great guest. And that means it's time for What's in Will's Mailbox and get our Sim of the Week and honorable mention. So, right now, most of What's in Will's Mailbox is complaining that you guys didn't have a guest for the last Fleet Cast. And I'll be honest, that's completely my fault. I am sorry. But what I did was I jimmied my phone's internet into my desktop so I could actually have internet. And it doesn't work as smoothly as you think it would. Therefore, I've upgraded, so I was able to do it this week. But the last time I tried to do this, my Skype calls were getting dropped every 18 or 21 seconds if it was being nice. So I apologize for that. That's What's in Will's Mailbox today. Hopefully we'll get a lot of good feedback in What's in Will's Mailbox next week. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sim of the Week and the honorable mention. Today we'd like to give our Sim of the Week to the USS Ares under Captain Samantha Carter. You guys are the Task Group 72B flagship. And on the obsidianfleet.co.uk website, I almost said .net. On the Obsidian Fleet website, you guys are on shore leave. So, you know, it's no better time to join a sim than shore leave. I know that I always love getting sims. I always love getting players on shore leave. And our honorable mention today, the USS Missouri from 47 under Commander Cassia Cavendish. Your current mission says devastation. I wonder what that means. Let's see. Wow. Talk about a text wall. But it's cool. It looks like you guys are, wow, this is a really interesting mission. I don't have the time to go through it, but you should definitely check it out, missouri.legionofgeeks.org, and hopefully we can get one of you guys to write in or comment on the show and tell us what our mission is actually all about. So, ladies and gentlemen, congratulations once again to the USS Ares and the USS Missouri, our Sim of the Week, and honorable mention et al. Thank you for listening today. I appreciate it. I know that a lot of you guys do too. And for those of you who are wondering about an update on my uni, as you Brits like to say, my uni status, it's tough. But I'm going to get through it. And hopefully, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I can keep on doing this Fleetcast every Monday. That's what I'm hoping for. If not, it'll probably be on a Saturday. But right now, we're going to stick it to every Monday. Until, of course, I get way too behind on my homework. But we'll make sure you guys know about anything like that. So, thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Fleetcast today. We appreciate it, and we hope to see you here next week. Have a great week, courtesy of William, your host on the Fleetcast. Thank you for listening to the Fleetcast today. My name is William, and I'm your host. The Fleetcast is copyright 2011, Triple Helix Media, all rights reserved. Please don't retransmit or re-record this without my personal written consent. Although you can give the link out to your friends, I have no problem with that at all. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll send you off today. The music for today was provided by partnersinrhyme.com. We'll see you next week here on the Fleetcast.